This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Many of you know I'm Baltimore born, longtime New Yorker. I now live outside of Boston. And I love very specific things about each of those cities. I will talk to you about each of them and my love for different parts of them. Something interesting happens, though, when I meet someone from outside of the States, outside of the US, and they ask me what my favorite place in America is. I do not say Baltimore, New York, or Boston. Guess what I say? I say
New Orleans.
This place, if you have not been there, and if you have, I hope your experience is the same as mine. It is warm. It is welcoming. It's real and gritty. It is prideful, historical, and has amazing, delicious food, of course. So to me, it's an I will go there anytime kind of place. And it is also, I will talk to anyone from there kind of place as well, anytime. So thus not the only reason, but one of the reasons for today's guest on Speaking of Events. She is on that very special list of very special people from New Orleans. She is from there. She lives there. And I am so delighted to welcome Falami Jenkins. She is the Community Engagement Manager at Ruby Slipper Restaurant Group and so much more that she's going to talk to us a little bit about. Welcome, Falami, to Speaking of Events.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Oh, wonderful. We are waiting with bated breath to see if the weather holds. We never know what's going to happen. And I, you know what, something disastrous happens, we're not going to cut it. We're just going to keep rolling and let the people listen.
That's how we are.
How do you feel about that?
That's how you're panicked.
That's right. Do you scream? Is there a lot of screaming when you panic? How are you going to react? What do you think?
No, I'm a true events professional. I take a deep breath.
That's right.
And I keep it moving.
Right. Is there a long sigh out? Is it like, okay.
You definitely have to do it.
We're not
that yoga breath.
The yoga breath. Right. Because you're that much of a professional. All right. So as an events professional, as coming from Ruby Slipper Restaurant Group, which by the way, is totally delicious. I think the first obvious question to you is, what did you have for breakfast today?
I had nothing but a protein shake. It was one of those ones.
not my favorite thing from Ruby Slipper, which by the way is Chicken St. Charles. Not that.
No, it was not. It was a protein shake. It was one of those mornings where I was super busy and running. And so the only thing I could do was grab a protein shake and keep it moving.
Okay, fine, fair. I've had many of those days. Trust me, I know. The real first question though is, what do you wish more people knew about events, or what's the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
Ooh, that's a good one. I wish more people knew that events weren't all about a room full of pretty things. events have meaning. They all have meaning. They're there for a reason. They're trying to speak to people. And my approach to events, it's a whole lot of storytelling. We want people to understand something. And I also teach a catering class to a workforce development group for young people who want to get into the events world. And every semester, I have that time where we're talking about engaging with your clients. And the number one thing I tell them with engaging with their clients, while you want to know what their budget is and what their Pinterest page looks like and all of those things. At the end of the day, everyone wants to accomplish something and feel a certain kind of way. Emotions is really, really big within events. So if someone's fundraising and you have the lighting and the music to set a mood to make them feel to get somewhere, or you want to make sure that it's intimate and close because you feel like you're wrapped with your family, you have to understand it's more about that emotional thing that your client really wants to feel than all the pretty things. You can have all the new hot it stuff, the best of the best photo booth and all of those different things. But more than likely, when something goes wrong, because it will go wrong, if you made your client feel the way they want it to feel and accomplish that goal, everything is great.
You are magical. That is wonderful. How do you get someone to feel something? Like what if what I think is going to make them feel, how do you get there, I guess?
For me, I guess psychology is something that I'm really interested in. I'm always going to read up on it. I'm going to watch every Brené Brown something that can come out.
Atlas of the Heart. Keep it real.
But it's a lot of asking questions, right? And you're listening to your client. So a lot of times they may say something and you have to really get underneath it. And it's kind of like the emotion wheel, right? And a lot of people will be like, oh, everything's, I feel happy today. But like, what are the other words that you have to find to kind of define what that happiness is? And once you get down to the bottom, pulling out more words out of them, yes, then you find that something that they're really looking for. So like, it's different for my nonprofit clients to my brides or just someone, you know, celebrating a birthday or a corporate event. So they all have different purposes, but at the same time, there's some sort of emotion that needs to be pulled out at the end of the event.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You have to find that emotion, find the authentic emotion, and give them the, it sounds like you're saying, give them the vocabulary to do it.
Yes.
Right. Because most people be like, because think about it. How many times a day are you asked like, how are you doing today? Fine. I'm good. Right. Or I often think that people, the emotions are like when you leave the restroom and it's like, how do we do? And then there's like three smiley, it's like smiley, sad, or like just the men or whatever. Yes. So yes.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. It makes you go into mommy mode, I feel like, all the time. I think as a mom, you're constantly trying to pull more out of your kids. And at work, you know, and dealing with clients, I'm like, well, give me more. What does that look like? describe that to me. Make sure it's open-ended questions where they can give you a little bit more. Because if you're like, do you like this? Yes. Okay. So what you're telling me is, so they give me more.
Yeah. Yes. Give me more. Yes.
Give me more. Yes.
And speaking of more, we had talked a little bit ago about one of your passions, which is the corporate social responsibility in events.
Yes.
Would you share a little bit more about that?
Give you more.
Give me more.
I think, you know, what a lot of companies are going towards these days is the corporate social responsibility. That's just like the Nikes of the world. You know, they have these different campaigns to evoke what? Emotion. And when you evoke those emotions, people feel connected to you. They feel like I'm important to you. And so then they want to be able to be a loyal customer of yours. So a lot of events, especially large events like Essence Festival is coming back in person here in New Orleans. And so for them, they want to make sure it's this family vibe. It's this people of color, you matter, we see you. And corporate wise, all of these different large companies want to say, we see you in this community matters, right? So every event is making sure they have different elements to make sure people matter. And then also, how are you giving back? Because, you know, Essence Festival was founded on the slogan, a party with a purpose. And so more and more companies are trying to make sure their events have some sort of purpose. Are we donating money at the end of this? Are we making sure that we have minorities included? Do we have women businesses? Do we have Asian businesses? Who are our vendors coming in to support? Who are the people that are in charge? Who are the people that were getting involved? So it's a lot of layering of making sure that people feel heard and getting a certain purpose like accomplished within an event, and not just it was big, it was pretty, you know, and we had all of the new things that were going on. And that speaks to me, you know, especially being in events for so long. I wanted to feel like I was making a difference in the world. And while I can put on a very pretty event and have really delicious food, how am I impacting the people around me? And it started off with a lot of my employees felt like my children, and I did a lot of pouring into them. You know, I've had some wait staff that I was just like, hey, you've been in school for how long? You've been working with me for how? Oh, well, we have events and I didn't want to turn the job down. And I'm like, while I pay you a decent wage, when you get your degree, you can do so much more. And I push so many to say, I need you to do something different. You know, like go and get your degree. If you want to come back and still serve events for me, by all means, but at least you did that and you have options. You know, and it started there to me saying, like, how can I do a bigger impact? And when I was approached by Ruby Slipper in regards to this job, what they're saying, like, you have a great events background, which that's a lot of the work, but we need someone who is going to be about the community and be able to be ingrained in the community and help out the community. I said, this is the perfect pairing for me. So while I run around and I'm helping put on different events, they all have a purpose. You know, we had a really bad hurricane, and so we mobilized our restaurants where we started feeding people in the community. Like the electricity was out in New Orleans for maybe about 2 weeks. And because of that, our freezers were off, and it was like, we have to cook this food off before it goes bad. So, we had to fire up grills, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And we were just outside and we cook food. We fed the police department. We fed families that didn't have anywhere to go. They didn't have money to be able to buy stuff. Most of the stores didn't have anything for them to buy anyway. So we were just feeding our community. And so for me, that makes me feel good to be able to give back on a larger scale than just the individuals that I interact with every day. And I think a lot of companies are realizing once a community can see that you do more than take, like, come and give me your money. When you give back, it's such a great brand loyalty that people really continue want to, you know, come in and patronize and tell everyone about you. So, well, yes, it's a great marketing way of doing things, but, you know, when you're really and truly trying to make sure your community is in a good place, it helps me. It warms my heart.
That's awesome. Who else do you think is doing it well? Clearly you are, clearly Ruby Slipper. Who else is doing it well, do you think?
Who else is doing it well? I think a lot of different individuals within apparel does it well. Once Nike started it off, every other shoe person kind of rolled into it. I think, oh my gosh, they're not Vans. Yes, Vans. Vans and another shoe company, with every shoe you purchase from them, they donate to someone else.
Yes, yes. It's like Bombas, you know, the sock company, they do the mm-hmm. same thing.
So I think a lot of people do that really, really, really well. I think the NBA sometimes does a pretty decent job, mainly because I don't know if anybody has ever heard of the PALS program. It's the Police Athletic League. And within the Police Athletic League, they have these different partners. The NFL and the NBA are both partners of PALS. And so they put money into underprivileged, you know, communities, underserved communities, and they help out the youth through sports. And, you know, it's just keeping kids active all day long, which I think is an amazing thing. I think every police department should have a PALS program. And I feel like that way the NFL and NBA can be more active in every community with helping kids out. So they do that well.
Amazing. They should also hire you to be their spokesperson. I'm just saying. If you need a referral, call me. It's fine.
I'm in. Put it out there into the atmosphere.
I am. It's out. Okay. You're so wonderfully inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit, if that's okay.
We're going to
take a little bit of a left turn, because as my audience, if they listen to more than one episode, knows that I love to talk about speaker training and speakers, and I'm obsessed because that's what I do in my one of my other jobs. Mm-hmm. So might you have a speaker disaster story to share, or an event disaster story?
Because I do both, I have one of each, but I'll start with speaker.
Okay, yay, my favorite. Okay.
Speaker disaster story, I would say last year I moderated a panel for AVIXA, which is the largest AV company association in the world. They put on Infocom every year, and it was about events, and we came up with a run of show, which is great, but something else is more important, and that's scripting. Very important. Okay. And so while there, one of the AVIXA people was going to introduce us and say, hey, introducing Philomi Jenkins, please take it over, blah, 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 blah. It went a little bit further. And so everything I scripted for myself to begin the panel off with, she did before she handed me the baton. And so I immediately had to take that quick deep breath as she was going into basically taking my words from me of saying, how am I going to jump into this conversation as less awkward as it can be, because what I scripted for myself is gone now. And I fumbled a little bit in the beginning because I was really trying to think very quickly of how to start talking, because she was like, and Philomi Jenkins, and I'm like,
and you did so that, you did like a disgust, yes.
Yes, and thank you. And so it rattled my nerves a bit. But I eventually kind of hopped into it, and it was a really great panel. But you know, that heart is racing, and then, you know, the shaking of the voice for a little bit. And I had to kind of try to breathe as much as possible to calm it down and kind of get into it. But as we got into the panel, it ended up being great. But it was that moment of you just stole my thunder.
Right. Like, thanks for that really thorough introduction.
Yes.
Amazing. Wow. You, but yet again, rocked it.
Hey.
All right.
That's all you can do. You have to keep moving forward. You can't go backwards.
That's true. True. All right. Event disaster.
Event disaster. Really funny, quick one, I guess, is I used to cater for the First Lady, Michelle Obama. And it was...
No, I... I think you're my first degree of Michelle Obama I've ever talked to. I just need to bow down for a second. Okay. Move on, because, okay, yes.
Yes. So I, when I was in DC and I had my own full service catering company, I used to cater events for just her and her crew that worked directly for her. And my very first event I did for her, it was very last minute. They called me up and it was like in 3 days. They wanted me to cater something for her. And it was nerve-wracking because you want to do something of a certain level because it is the First Lady of the United States, which you only have 3 days to pull it together. And I couldn't bring in wait staff because I didn't have enough time for Secret Service to a background check on them. And so it was just me pulling everything together by myself. Well, I had my chef, which was my business partner, but like setting up the buffet and all this kind of stuff, laying out the florals. I couldn't bring my florist in. So it's like me doing the whole setup. And they were like, well, we'll let you know exactly when she's leaving the White House. Where we did this was in, it was around Howard University, and the White House is usually about 15 minutes away. And this was during rush hour traffic. And while I know she has a motorcade, I still think I may have like 5, possibly 10 minutes, maybe.
That sounds reasonable for DC. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so they were like, you know, the First Lady is on the move. She's left the White House. And I literally turned around. I said, okay, turned around, walked away. And she was walking through the front door. And I was like, she just left. And I was rushing, trying to get things together. And that was my very first lesson in when the Secret Service is moving in a motorcade, is even in downtown DC during rush hour, you do not have anything over 2 minutes. Nowhere over 2 minutes. And she was extremely gracious and lovely and sweet. And she was like, where's the entire staff? And I was like, it's just me, ma'am. It's just me.
Oh, that story like stresses me out and warms my heart at the same time. So congratulations.
Thank you.
That is amazing. I'm so jealous. I like fan envy. That's amazing. So You've done so much. You started Group Enola, went to New York, went to DC, as we just heard. You're back in New Orleans. So like, how did we get here? Take us back.
You know, the thing is, I left New Orleans because I had really huge aspirations and wanted to accomplish a lot of things. I was able to get to DC and do so much. I was able to go to New York and do a lot there. And then went back to DC. And wow, I feel like there's a lot of opportunity and you can grow and make a lot of money and all of those good things. I was really and truly looking for that more You know, I need it more. And I want it to be able to do more for others in my community. And so that is how I ended up coming back home. And I was just raised that way. My father was a man that was really huge within community and giving back. And it was one of those things where if there's a day that I'm no longer here, and you can have a room full of people that said, Falami Smith Jenkins changed my life, did this for me, gave back in this way, and impacted a lot of people, then I feel like my job was done. And so coming home and being able to give back and help the community and find ways to give grants to people, find ways to do sponsorship for small organizations that don't quite qualify to get sponsorship from some of the other larger companies, then I'm able to help those out. And I live comfortably. I may not be the richest woman in the world, but I'm rich in other ways. So I'm very happy about that. So that is why I'm back here doing CSR in the city of New Orleans, giving back to others just like me. That's why I teach, you know, for my workforce development, trying to tell young kids that look like me, that grew up in communities like I grew up in, and tell them I was a little Black girl from New Orleans out of the 7th Ward. I moved to Washington, D.C. and grew my career in business to the point that I served the First Lady of the United States, and you can do it too. And if people hear that, that inspires them to go out and take a chance and do big things. And that's what I really hope I can do for others. And hopefully I can do that today here too.
Well, you have done it. You gave me, you gave back to me. And Falami Smith Jenkins, I'm going to ask for a little more. Can you give me just a little more right now?
Absolutely.
Just
a little? Absolutely.
Okay. Then I'm going to ask that you participate in our lightning round express. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I have 45 seconds on the clock, 7 questions. Ready?
Ready.
Okay. Yes. First question. What is your favorite moment in the event process?
The very end, when the client has got that feeling. When I see that I got it.
I love it. She did a beautiful, if you're not watching, a beautiful air grab. It was perfect. It was perfect. Okay. Who do you consider your mentor?
My mentor is a gentleman by the name of Michael Grozier. He is the original general manager for House of Blues. He helped start House of Blues with Isaac Tigret.
Very cool. And what is your favorite place to hang out in New Orleans? Is it House of Blues?
It used to be, but I'm an old lady with 2 kids. So my favorite place is
so old.
It's my sofa.
It is. Yes. Awesome. I'm going to check that out next time I'm in town. All right. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Every day to stay healthy and sane, I try to do some sort of workout. If I don't go to the gym, at least I walk or do simple exercises. I don't know. My workout stuff is right in the corner.
I can't see the workout stuff. I do see like a picturesque couch, so I understand why you found it. That's all I say. Okay, if you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
Working. I am afraid of how many emails have piled up during this time, but that's okay. I'm here with you, and I appreciate it.
We're almost done. Thank you. No. I know. I understand. I have that. Okay. 2 more questions. Michelle Obama's favorite snack.
Oh my gosh. She really loves Mexican, and she loves this chocolate Mexican spice cake that we made. And oh my gosh, to be honest with you, her favorite snack really and truly in the world is green apples with peanut butter, because she's a health nut. However, when she's being bad, she's really being bad.
It's the Mexican chocolate spice cake. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yes, oh that gosh. And a nice margarita. We make them from scratch. Yes,
especially, right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Okay, final question. The best way to take care of an event professional?
The best way to take care of an event professional is do your job. That's it.
yes, do your job. Do your job. I love that answer. Absolutely. Falami Smith-Jenks, now I'm just using all three of your names. You have certainly done your job here today. Thank you. I can't ask for more because you've left it all on the table for me. You've given me your heart, soul, passion. This was amazing. Thank you. Thank you. If people would like to connect with you and get more from you, where can they find you? Where would you like people to connect with you?
People can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm available there. You can find me at Falami Jenkins. And also, if you really, really and truly want to find me, you can find me at dc-storytelling.com. So.
Oh, we will check that out, dc-storytelling.com. What happens over there?
Over there, it's my website where people can find me if they really and truly want some help with putting together an event. I tend to be very selective on events that I take today because my scheduling is so busy. But I really do love being able to give people a little bit more. You know, people can make stuff pretty, but and when you want a little bit more, give me a call.
I love this theme of this episode. I am inspired and invigorated. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. 2 seconds, you can check the email. Just give me 2 more seconds. Thank you to our audience. Thank you for listening. I hope you too feel as good as I do right now. And if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, tell someone about this podcast and tell them to listen to this episode and rate it really high because our guest, Falami Jenkins, was amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And remember, everybody, whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Have a great day because I'm in the best mood now. Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Speaking of events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovation.